So here we are again for another special edition of our Getting to Know series. I hope you've enjoyed these as much as I've enjoyed recording them over the last few months. They've certainly helped keep me sane and keep me in touch with football, and I hope they've been the same with you. Last week we had Mark Williams on, who was a very talkative guest about his time in the professional game and in the Welsh game as well. And this week I'm delighted to be joined by Elliot Evans of Cardiff Met. Elliot, thanks very much for being with us. It's been a long time since you've kicked the football now, mate. Are you a bit rusty?
Yeah. It's been about, 4 months now, hasn't it? I think we were meant to play Kevin Druids the last weekend before it sort of got shut down and the league got cancelled, essentially. So yeah, a little bit frustrating in that sense. I think I've said to you before that sort of, you know, with Europe last year, barely having a break, it was kind of getting to a point where I think some of the boys needed a break, really. So it came at a nice time, I suppose, in some respects. But obviously, when it's been 3-4 months, you're sort of itching to get back into it. So, you know, initially you enjoy that break mentally and physically, I suppose, for a little bit. But yeah, obviously, you've got a short career, I suppose, in football, and you don't want to be missing games or wasting time, really. So it's, everyone's itching to get back, really.
And it's been, the point of these podcasts is obviously to get to know the personalities within the league and learn a bit more about people's stories. And I mean, I wonder if anyone's had a previous 10 years in Welsh football like you've had, you know, or like you guys at Cardiff Met have had, even obviously you being one of the more senior custodians there. If you'd said to yourself maybe, or future you had come and said 10 years ago, look, this is what you're going to be doing by 2020, I mean, would you have believed that was possible, or how would you have reacted to that?
Yeah, it's been sort of well known that you joined the club, it was 10 years ago now, as a fresher joining university. And to be honest, I didn't know a lot about the football club. I didn't really know a lot about Welsh football, really, and which is a little bit embarrassing being from Wales. But, you know, you only really hear about the Welsh Prem, I suppose, with the coverage you get. So I didn't really know the quality or standard of the league that we were in. I think there'd been a bit of a reshuffle with the Welsh Prem had gone to 12 teams at that point. So I think it was 12 teams. So there's obviously a bit of a reshuffle with the leagues below. So we should have been in Welsh Division 2, or the old Welsh Division 2, but we'd actually been relegated to Welsh Division 3 despite coming 10th the year before. So I didn't have a clue what to expect, sort of, joining the university side in Welsh Division 3. Thought at times it probably wasn't the best decision because, you know, some of the cloggers you get in that league, you know, not to be disrespectful, you get a lot of kicks in that league. But it's an honest league, you know. So yeah, it was, didn't know what to expect, really. Didn't know a lot about Welsh football. I'd obviously done a little bit of research on Christian, knowing that he was the director of football and the head coach at the university. So I knew he'd had a professional background, and I kind of joined for that reason, essentially. I wanted to play at a senior level, sort of, as senior level as I could, joining the university. And I thought, obviously, with Christian's background in the game, that might stand me in better stead than if I joined other clubs, for example. So yeah, that was kind of how it started, really, joining Welsh Div 3. And it was obviously a baptism of fire at times. I was about 55 kilograms, really skinny kid at that age as well. So yeah, you know, it was difficult at times physically in that type of league, but it did sort of stand me in good stead, you know, moving forward. And obviously the Welsh Premier League is a physical league itself. So again, yeah, it was a good little learning curve to learn the difficult parts of the game, I suppose, to get used to sort of moving up the levels as well.
And in terms of your expectations, I mean, you mentioned there that you picked the team because of Christian in a way. I mean, obviously that was a big draw. But would you ever have expected to go on the journey that you've gone on? I mean, to still be there 10 years later. How many appearances are there now? I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, I passed 300 this season. So I'm like 320, something like that. Christian will be able to tell you. I think he's quite big on the stats with the appearances and things. But yeah, I know I passed 300 recently. So yeah, it was a nice little milestone. Yeah, I didn't think I'd still be there 10 years later. I thought I'd just do my 3 years as you normally would. But obviously, we're quite unique in that sense. It's not just a university side. I like to think as a university based side, you know, a lot of the lads who join have been at professional academies as youngsters. They've played semi-professional football, some of them, before they even joined. So, you know, they want to get on in the game as well. It's not just your typical sort of stereotypical university side where everyone's out drinking every every week. I mean, there were periods and times that I did do all that. Obviously, as you get a bit older, you can't do that as much. But obviously we have the Saturday program in the Welsh League, and you know we have the university program on the Wednesday as well. So I played both in the initial 3 years that I was studying my undergrad, which I wouldn't be able to do now. I'll be honest with the intensity of games and things like that. I just wouldn't be able to do it. So it's something we've changed up a little bit as well. I was playing probably about 60, almost 70 games all in, really, from the age of 18 to 21. So got a lot of football in those intervening years, really. And I think it stands you in good stead playing as many games as possible. Once you get that experience of knowing how to win games and how to compete and things like that, you can go and play at a high level. And that's what the Welsh Prem's about, really.
And had you had any experience? You mentioned there that, you know, that some players have come from the semi-professional game. I mean, recently, obviously, you've had the likes of Joel come in, who's played at a high level, and Dylan and others. I won't name them all because I'll forget someone. But had you had that sort of experience as a youngster, or what sort of exposure had you had before university?
Yeah, I hadn't been picked up by a club until around the age of 16, when I was doing my GCSEs, really. I went to Bristol City Academy, did quite well there, felt comfortable, didn't feel overawed or anything, but in that setup, when they'd already sort of picked their YTs, so they had lads who'd been there for 8-10 years, who they knew everything about, and they'd already given their YT contracts out, and that, I think that was partly one of the reasons why I didn't manage to get a YTS scholarship. But I went and played on a college program then through Bristol City. So a lot of the players who got released at 16, for example, or been released by the likes of Rovers and other clubs in that sort of southwest area, because I'm obviously on the border where I'm from. It's near Bristol. So yeah, I went and played sort of, it was basically full-time football on a college program. So I got used to training. It was training 5 days a week, or four times a week, really, with matches on a weekend. So I'd been used to that from the age of 16. And then joining, obviously, it was Uwick at the time, but obviously Cardiff Met. I was actually training a little bit less in some respects. So I'd been used to a kind of a full-time program as such from the age of 16. So that wasn't something that I was overawed by, I suppose. I'd sort of been used to that kind of level of training and coaching. But yeah, in terms of getting picked up by a professional academy, not until I was 16, really, which is a bit of a shame, I think, in some respects. But then I may not have had the experience that I had later, and obviously in the Welsh Premier League now. So yeah, you just take what comes, don't you? I suppose there's some lads, like Dylan, for example, been with Cardiff from the age of like 10 till almost in his 20s. So it's a long time to be with a club, and then obviously for it not to work out. So you've got to go back to the drawing board in that sense. I was lucky in some respects that I didn't have that. Although, you know, obviously having professional coaching from a younger age might have helped me again. I mean, thinking back, I probably didn't have much coaching until the age of 16, really, any squads that I've been involved in. So count myself a little unfortunate that I didn't get picked up a little bit earlier, maybe slipped through the professional game. But you know, there's so many examples of players that do, even when they're in the system. So it's, you know, it's obviously very hard to go and make it, but I think it's helped me sort of going into semi-professional game in the Welsh Premier League to keep that hunger and know that if you work hard, opportunities will come, I suppose.
And just put it into, briefly for me, put it into perspective, how many years did it take you to go from Division 3 to the Premier League? I'm
trying to think now, was it 26? Yeah, so it took the club 6 years. So when I joined in 2010 in Division 3, we had a couple of seasons where we didn't get promoted. We had a really good side, actually, some really good players, but for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. And then the sort of core group that you've seen in the Welsh Prem from 2016 was the team that won Welsh Division 3. That was my final year at undergrad, and I decided I wanted to move back home and maybe try a different club, really. So personally, I went to Monmouth Town for a couple of years, won Welsh Division 1, but we couldn't go up into the Welsh Prem because of ground didn't. So that was a bit unfortunate in that sense. But in that time then, I decided to go back and study. So I had 2 years at Monmouth, and in that time, Met had got promoted to Div 1. Just missed out on 3 promotions in a row. I think Haverford West went up over them the year before I rejoined. Then when I rejoined them, we won Welsh Division 1 then and into the Welsh Prem. So yeah, 6 years it took the club. I was involved for 4 of those. So and then obviously I've been involved since.
And you mentioned the core group there. I mean, how many was it that were consistent through the divisions?
So you had Will Fuller, Josh Barnett, Charlie Corsby, so obviously myself. I don't know if I missed anyone out there, but yeah, that was the sort of core players. And then in that time, you had the likes of Chris Baker, who joined, Emlyn joined, Brad Warwood, sorry, I forgot the skipper there. he was part of it throughout. So, yeah, it's a good core of the spine of the team, really, in those early Welsh premiers that were in that Welsh Division 3 side. And we've had a lot of good players who left before we got into the Welsh Premier League, which is a shame for them, because they probably didn't get that exposure that us guys have got playing with the club. So it was obviously, I forgot Carl McCarthy there as well. He'll kill me for forgetting him. He was involved as well. So yeah, it's obviously something that I think we're all proud of, to be part of something for so long, and then to go and do really well in the Welsh Premier League as we have done. It's unique, really, and a massive part of our success, really.
What does it say about coaching and player development that, you know, essentially the same team has won every division to get to the Welsh Prem? I mean, you guys just stayed more or less the same for 6 years, and then here you are. You know, you've done what you've done. What does that say about the coaching and the way you develop players?
Christian's been vital to that. I think, you know, he had an idea of what he wanted to do with the club, whether he believed he could do it at the time. I think I've heard interviews that you've yourself have done with him where he's, you know, he said what the facilities were like and things like that, and it was miles off. But I think to get into the Welsh Premier League with Cardiff Met, and yeah, I'll be honest, he's driven the majority of it. It's, you know, he's a very driven person, very motivated, and he demands that from the players. Whether other coaches would be able to do that, I'm sure they could, but I think we all ourselves definitely owe a lot of what we've achieved to Christian, and just how demanding he is. He, you know, even if we've won a big game or even when we've won trophies before, it's always the next thing that he's got on his mind. You know, as soon as we get into Europe last season, it's right, I want to do well in Europe. So, you know, he knows that football's a harsh game, and if you start to think that you've made it or think that you've arrived or whatever that might be, you know, you're gonna get a bloody nose at some point. Don't care how good you are. So obviously, you know, we've got a talented group of players, and we always bring certain players through as well who add to the group. But Christian drives all that, and he's always had good sort of support staff as well. So yeah, it always comes from the coaching staff. I think it does at any club at any level. You know, you look at even at the top level, drive the standards of the players, and you know, that's the biggest part of our success, I think.
And when you arrived on the Welsh Premier, on our Cymru Premier stage, I found your first few games, not yours personally, but the team's first few games, very interesting, because obviously didn't hit the ground running as you'd have liked, I guess, but you good performances, but not quite the results. And then all of a sudden you start doing well, and people suddenly start saying you're a full-time team, you know, you're training 8 days a week, and all this. And, you know, how did you deal with the sort of coming to the league? Because there were some who thought it was great. There were some who called you the students in a way that I know wound some people up. Obviously, the full-time thing still hasn't gone away. People still say you're full-time now. But how did you deal with all the noise, if you like, of being a group of young lads who just come into the league?
It takes you a little while to get up to speed. And I think, as you said, our performances were really good. I remember there was one, I think it was our second game in against Bala at home. And we've dominated the game, created chances, just couldn't put the ball away. And they've nicked the 1-0 victory against us. But that's the league. You know, you have to, it's quite a ruthless league. And, you know, you have to learn very quickly that if you don't take your chances and you make mistakes at the other end, then you will get punished. Whereas, you know, in the lower divisions, you can get away with that. So in terms of the sort of standards we had to set ourselves, we realised that concentration had to be maximum throughout 90 minutes and beyond that as well to get results. And it took 5 or 6 games to really get used to that. Myself as well, it took me 10 games to really as a player. But yeah, obviously when we first came into the league, maybe people thought we were going to be the whipping boys, very young squad, I suppose. But obviously when you beat them, people need an excuse. And when we were getting results, that was the excuse. I can confirm we're not. We only train twice a week on a Monday and Thursday, and that's hard enough as it is. As I know, a lot of the players in the league who are part time will attest to, I suppose. So as soon as the results came and we felt comfortable, and from a personal level, as soon as I felt comfortable, I knew I could perform at the level. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's, of course, it's not easy, but you get used to a level of performance that you know you can hit, and you're disappointed when you don't hit that level, I suppose. So, I mean, it's happened a couple of times. I think off the top of my head, Llandudno got into Europe on their first season back in the Welsh Premier League. So it does happen that teams come into the league and hit the ground running. But I wouldn't say we hit the ground running straight away, but season we obviously got into the top six as well, which was a big achievement, really. So, yeah, it was a good first year, I think, in the Welsh Prem, definitely.
Okay. And your sort of arrival moment, I guess, was Bangor. Obviously, that's where we first spoke. I may have recalled this incorrectly, but I seem to remember you saying previously that you sort of felt before that game you hadn't quite done as well as you'd have liked. What went right in that game, and what sort of, you know, do things as a player, do things just click for you one day, or was that just a result of a lot of hard work? Or both?
Yeah, no, I'm a big believer in, obviously, you have to work hard. If you want to get to any level in football, you have to work hard and listen to your coaches and things like that and take things on board. But at the end of the day, you need a lot of luck as well. I had a little listen to Mark Williams' podcast last week, and he said, you know, if you perform well for one manager who sort of likes you, and you know, you're in the side the next week, and that's that little bit of luck you need. And I think that was probably, you know, talking about the Bangor game, that little bit of luck I needed in that game. And then a couple of chances just fell to me at the back post, and I've put them away. And then, you know, you scored a hat trick, and you get the headlines, essentially, don't you, really? And then people start to take notice, really, in that sense. So yeah, you definitely need a little bit of luck. You make your own luck by working hard and making sure you're in the right place at the right time. So yeah, I hadn't performed that well up to then. I think I might have scored the week before. I can't remember my first goal in the league, so that gave me a little bit of confidence, and maybe I was and it just sort of did all seem to click on that day. Not only did I score the hat trick, but I played really well, and I just remember feeling really comfortable. And it's, you know, that last 20 minutes, I think we were 4-0 up, and you're enjoying it then, do you know what I mean? And then you start to think, oh well, I can play well at this level, and start to set yourself more goals around that then, really.
And what does that do for you then going forward? I mean, the next game, you're like, I've scored a hat-trick now, you know, I can do this. Or is that gone out of your head?
No, it definitely gives you a lift. I can't remember we had the game after, but I remember going into that game, I couldn't wait to suit for the next game. And, you know, training, obviously, in the week after that is, but you know, you're buzzing, all the boys are buzzing, really. So, yeah, as soon as you do well and you realise and your confidence goes sky high, essentially, it's... you're buzzing for every single game. You can't wait for it. And I think in that period around that Bangor game, if memory sort of serves me correctly, that we went on a really good run of winning 6 or 7 games maybe. And it put us really in that top 6 contention. And, you know, when you're confident and winning games, then that's the time you do enjoy football at this level, really. And yeah, I remember that period being really enjoyable. I think we had quite a few students watching us at the time as well, making a little bit of noise. So every game was a real buzz, really. And yeah, it was a good time in that first season, definitely.
And you obviously ended up in the playoffs. You had a last-minute goal, I think it was, from Charlie, who scored if I remember correctly, to take you through. And then you go to the final against Bangor. Was the second half of the season for you essentially sort of, Not that you could relax, but was this sort of a free hit for you? Because no one was expecting you to be there. You're guaranteed to be in the playoffs, and you've got nothing to lose, really.
Yeah, I think it was, essentially. We obviously tried not to think like that, because you have to try and get as many points on the board as you can. And obviously, the higher up in the league that you finish, you get a home tie, don't you, in the semi-finals. So we might have won one game in that. So it was difficult in terms of results. And it's tough in that top 6 for the second half of the season. In phase 2, it's, you know, you're against the top teams in the league who are, you know, you've got your TNSs and Connors Key are full time, and there's top players in each team, really, that finish in the top 6. So it's always going to be difficult. And, you know, we were still a young side at that point. You know, you had to remember we'd only been in the league for 5-6 months. So yeah, it was a good learning curve again, and yeah, I do agree the pressure was off, because we knew we had a playoff in the bank. But yeah, it was just sort of learning the league again, really. I suppose it's a little mini league in that phase 2.
And then you end up in that final against Bangor, and
yeah, well, obviously we'd beaten them. Yeah, we'd beaten them obviously in the game that we just spoke about in the 4-0, and I think we might have drawn with them away in phase 2. I can't remember quite the result. We might have drawn a game 3-3 maybe. Or just lost 3-2. So it was a close game anyway. So we knew we could more than compete with them, and if on our day we could beat them, as was proven earlier on in the season. So yeah, I didn't go into it thinking, you know, there's a side that, you know, had very good players and they had a big crowd behind them, so we knew it was going to be difficult. But yeah, obviously, you know, deep down back of your head, you're thinking Bangor, a top side in the league, it's, you know, it is going to be difficult, essentially. And maybe we weren't quite ready, looking back, to get into Europe that year, being our first year in the league. And we still had a few lads who were still doing their studies, so we knew we had next year, the next season, to have a go at it again, if we added well, which we did that summer. So yeah, it was almost a free hit, that Bangor game. I got some regrets, you know, we could have done a little bit better at times. But yeah, Bangor deserves to win the game.
But then going into the year after, you ended up getting to another playoff final. How did you get over losing the second final? Because that must have been incredibly tough.
Yeah, it was tough. We'd had a really good season. We were top at the end of November, start of December, top of the league, and we'd been on a hell of a run. We'd added Joel Edwards, Dylan Rees, Will Evans was coming into the side doing really well. Roscoe was on fire, to be fair. So yeah, we'd had a really good first half of the season. And then if some injuries sort of couldn't have the strength and depth to cover that, and we had a little bit of a dip in the second half of the season, played Barry in the semi-final of the playoff. I think that was our home game actually in the playoff, the one we did have. Obviously played really well on the day, did well. And I think we'd had some really good games against Kevin Druids in that season. We'd been sort of neck and neck throughout the whole season. I think they might have finished fifth and we finished sixth. But yeah, I remember thinking that was our big chance, to be honest. I thought we're not going to get a better chance because you don't know how many chances you're going to get. I mean, we'll go on to it in a bit, I'm sure, but luckily we had another chance. Deep down, I thought that was probably our chance to get into Europe against a side I knew we were probably better than, although they were well organised and finished above us in the league. I thought we had, you know, we had better players than them, if I'm honest, but, you know, they performed better than us on the day again. I don't want to say we choked, but we didn't play anywhere near our level. And the level that we'd hit in the Barry game the game before. So yeah, that was really disappointing. I remember after the game thinking, like, I didn't know where to go from there, really, whether to stay at Met or, do you know what I mean? It was one of that. I know it was the same for Christian, because I've heard him speak about it before, but I know as well a lot of the lads were knocked them for six, really, because we had a very, very good squad that year. And, you know, we were all a good age as well. And I thought that was the time to go and do it. And yeah, if I'm honest, obviously one or two players were leaving at that point as well. So I was thinking potentially we might not get another shot at this. So yeah, it was probably my worst feeling in football, if I'm honest, that Kevin Drew's defeat in the playoff final. But, you know, you've got to take any positives you can. And if you learn from a defeat, it can help you move forward as well. So, you know, luckily that transpired, that happened.
Obviously year three, then you did finally get it done, and you won another trophy as well. You know, you won your first trophy at this level. You won the League Cup and obviously won the playoffs. The League Cup first, I'd like to touch on, though. I mean, Christian said at the time, I think he said on the night of the finals, I mean, they hadn't slept for days because he was so worried about winning the game. And obviously, Cambrian were a very good side. You know, some very, very good young players there. How do you, as a team, you know, given everything you've gone through and all that, how did you deal with going into a final as favourites?
Yeah, it was obviously a little bit of a diff, whether you could argue with favourites against the Druids is debatable, but we hadn't really been in a final where we were the clear favourites, I suppose. Like you say, Cambrian, they'd beaten TNS in the semi-final, so, and we knew, obviously, because they're down south, not too far from Cardiff as well, we knew a lot of their players anyway, having played against them in the university leagues and things like that, so we knew they were a really dangerous side. And yeah, I suppose that does make you nervous when you know that they can hurt you if you're not on a game. Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking. I'll be honest, I'd not had the nerves that I felt in that game or prior to that game in previous finals that we've been in. Obviously, the Bangor final, there wasn't much expected of us, I suppose. So that was a free hit, I suppose. But yeah, that game was, and especially after losing a couple of finals, that Faneuil Cup as well the year before, so that was our second consecutive final in that competition as well, and you're thinking we can't lose a fourth final, you know. Already some people are probably calling us bottlers and things like that. And yeah, I remember before the game I was nervous before that game, because you know you're expected to win the game, you should on paper, and you should, if you know, if you work hard and match them, you should have too much for them. We didn't play that well on the night, to be honest. Luckily Roscoe was on form that night. He took a chance about midway through the first half, which really settled us down, I think, give us something to hang on to as well. And to be honest, Cambrian missed a couple of chances in the game, which, you know, people obviously forget that, because you only see one in the end, don't you? But yeah, obviously the second goal that Ad scored really settled us down. I think it was only a minute left of relax a little bit then. But yeah, throughout the game, I wasn't personally that relaxed. I thought it was one of those games where you could slip up against dangerous opposition. But, you know, luckily, the footballing gods were looking over us that day, I suppose, with some of the chances that they missed. And we took our chances.
How does that set you up then for bigger games to come? I mean, do you have that confidence now that you you know, it doesn't matter what's going on, you could win the big, not that you hadn't won big matches before, but you'd suddenly win a really, really big one, and you could take that confidence into Carnarvon game, for example.
Yeah, I think it took the pressure off a little bit, because we had something in the bank for ourselves that season. That sort of monkey had come off our back, really, that we hadn't won a final. So yeah, the pressure in that sense was released a little bit, and obviously you're then going into games against Carnarvon and Barlow, where it's a lot more evenly matched, I suppose, in terms of, you know, anyone can beat anyone on the day. So yeah, a lot of us have played in big games now, quite a few big games since being in the league, so we've got that experience of big games. I think the Cambrian game we felt nerves because we were massively the favourites, but going into most games in the Welsh, a lot of the games, so that pressure isn't on us in that sense, I suppose. But I think, yeah, obviously going into big games against Carnarvon and then moving on to Bala, it definitely stood us in good stead that we'd already won that big game. I think we'd beaten Connorskey in the semi-final as well, so we knew we could win those big games, those tight matches, and it was just about going to Carnarvon and getting the job done, I suppose.
There was a very big moment in the Carnarvon game with obviously the accident behind the goal with the wall coming down. I mean, it's a horrible situation, you know, to see that happen, but it was a blessing for you guys in a way, because it gave you 5 minutes to just catch your breath and regroup, I guess.
Yeah, it did. Obviously, you know what it's like at Carnarvon. They're a passionate crowd. They have big crowds, and as soon as their team are on the up and in the ascendancy, it's difficult to stop that momentum. I think we didn't start too badly in the game. It was quite evenly bored about 20 minutes in, and then obviously the wall came down, which, yeah, I completely agree. It completely took their momentum for the whole first half, really. We managed to get a foothold straight away. I think we created a chance pretty much as soon as play restarted. One or two of their players were a little bit shaken because they'd gone over to help the fans, and luckily no one was hurt that day as well. Could have been really disastrous, but luckily it wasn't. But yeah, definitely helped us as a momentum changer. And in football, any sport really, momentum is massive. And we managed to equalise through Bakes not too long before half time. So going into half time, then we felt confident we'd overcome that sort of setback of going 1-0 down, which sometimes when you go and play Carnarvon, you can be 2-0, you know, get 2-0 down very quickly as well. You know, we were in the game, we knew we were, and we knew we had the quality second half to go and hurt them as well, especially, you know, playing in behind, not the quickest at the back. So, and that's how it transpired in the end.
And take me through then the feeling after final whistle, not just knowing that you've got to a third one, you know, but also the joy of getting there, but then the feeling of like, we've got to win this one, surely.
Yeah, it felt a little bit different though. I think it was such a big win, the Carnarvon game, because they'd had a really good season, and I suppose again a lot of people would have said that they were favourites for that game, because I think that they finished fourth, had a really good season, and you know we've gone there, played really well second half. To be honest, we were pretty comfortable in that second half, and we scored a couple of really good goals. So it was not so much nerves for the final, I suppose. And I think we knew by that point we were going to be playing Ballard as well. So again, it was you're playing one of the top teams in the league. It's almost a free hit again, despite obviously you have that pressure of you don't want to lose the third one, because yeah, I don't know what would have happened to the squad after that if we'd lost that third one. But yeah, I remember it was a really good feeling on the way back, and obviously it's a really long trip back to Cardiff from Flack, and we were just looking forward to the final the week after, really.
And take me through the whole day of the final then. I mean, just everything around it, not just the game, but you know, the trip up there, how you're feeling, getting ready to go, and then obviously the match itself.
Just tried to be as relaxed as possible. I think it was a later kickoff, wasn't it? It was 5:15, so it wasn't one of those. Sometimes we go and travel to Baller up and back in a day, and we've got to be up really early. But it was sort of one of those where you can leave a little bit left. Just decided to keep everything as relaxed as possible. They put a little video together, which was quite nice, of some of our former players, the likes of Ben Bowler, Josh Barnett, who'd left us, just giving like good luck messages and things like that. So they played that on the coach. We had Cardiff City's coach for the day, so it was a really nice, comfortable sort of double decker bus, essentially, which just shows the sort of professionalism that the coaches wanted for that day, really. And yeah, it was just to keep everything as relaxed as possible. Negatively about the previous two finals, because at the end of the day, they've been and gone. You can't do anything about them. So what you can control is this game and you know, the performance in this game. So it was just being as positive as possible. And to be honest, I felt pretty relaxed as well. I'd not played too well in the Nathaniel MG final. And I think partly that was down to nerves. So I thought of sort of, said to myself, just be as relaxed as possible, because if you're too nervous or worrying too much about the end result, then you're not going to play well in this game again. And yeah, felt quite relaxed and played pretty well, to be fair.
And the game itself, I mean, I didn't know which way it was going to go at any point, I don't think. I don't think anyone who was sitting in that crowd could have said that team's going to win or that team's going to win. I think it became quite clear early on that it was going to go all the way, and it did. I mean, how was it for you being in the middle of it all?
Well, yeah, the thing is you can control it, can't you, when you're on the pitch. So, yeah, obviously we went 1-0 down and you're thinking... Oh, not again, because we've had two previous seasons where we'd lost 1-0. And yeah, it does enter your thinking straight away. You're going, oh, not again, don't do it again. But yeah, luckily we'd scored maybe 5-10 minutes after Ballard had scored. So we were back in the game pretty quickly after that. And to be honest, I think we were a little bit unlucky at times. I think Bates hit the bar, Roska hit the post early on in the game. So actually in the 90 minutes, if you look at it, I think we'd had a couple of chances where we could have won the game. So we were a little bit disappointed that we didn't win it in the 90. But yeah, no, I do agree. It was one of those games where pretty much as soon as it went to extra time, you knew it was kind of going to penalties. It was going that way, despite obviously they hit the bar twice, didn't they, in succession, obviously in the last few minutes of extra time. And when that happens and that doesn't go in, you're thinking could be our year. You know, you don't want to think too far ahead, but little things like that do start to happen. And in previous years they had gone in against us and we'd have lost. So sometimes you do think it might just be your day, and there was always this little thing in the back of my head like, yeah, it could be our day today. Because it was, you know, even though we'd been unlucky to hit the woodwork ourselves, we got back into the game quickly. Bala missed a couple of big chances towards the end and it was falling for us, sort of thing.
And with the penalties, I mean, are you saying, give me one?
Yeah, we didn't have a list. Obviously, as a forward player, it's sort of my responsibility, I think, to take a penalty. I wouldn't think too much of a striker or an attacking player if they didn't want to take a penalty in a shootout, because, you know, that's what they're there for, really, isn't it? So, yeah, I felt a personal responsibility to put my hand up. And it was just the order. And it was quite funny. There was one or two who didn't fancy it, which was fine. But... you know, we had like a couple of defenders as well, like Dylan, and Emlyn put his hand up, and Swanee was obviously, he wasn't too confident about Emlyn sticking it away, but seeing Emlyn taking penalties pretty much every training session before and after, and he fancies himself on it, to be fair. So I felt confident that he'd score, but yeah, we had a couple of defenders taking it. I would have bet my sort of last bit of money that Will Evans would have hit the back of the net in terms of just smashing it. That's what he tends to do, but didn't quite do that during the penalty. So yeah, it's just one of those. And as an attacking player, you have to put your hand up, and we just worked the order out from there, really. And it just so happened that I said, oh God, and I'll have the fifth one. I didn't sort of say I want the fifth one or the first one. It was just a couple of, I think Macca might have said, I'm happy to have the first. And you just go with what the lads are confident with, really, or what they're comfortable with. And it just happened that I was on the fifth.
The more and more it goes on, though, I mean, obviously you say there that you feel like it's your duty to take one, but the closer it gets to you taking it and the way it's all playing out, are you like, oh God, why did I do this? Or how are you feeling?
Yeah, well, it was a strange one. I think I've taken penalties in shootouts before. I've scored some, I've missed some. So I've got experience of missing as well. And I've been nervous before taking penalties, no doubt. But I didn't really feel nervous for this one. I can't tell you why. I couldn't give a reason why. Maybe it was because of the standard of the penalties before. My one wasn't great at all. And I think when it came to me, to be fair, we were 2-1 up, weren't we? So it was a chance to win the game rather than to sort of save the game, essentially. You know, sometimes when you're the fifth penalty, you have to score to keep your team in the game, which that's real nerves then. Whereas when it fell to me, it was, we win the game. So I think in that sense, that took a bit of pressure off. But yeah, personally, I didn't really feel too many nerves, which is strange because, you know, I get nervous before games. I'm sure other players do as well. So I couldn't really explain that one, but it just... Maybe it was just the fact that we'd lost 2 years previous, and I thought, you know, there's nothing to lose really here. You know, you know what the feeling's like losing a playoff final. But yeah, just luckily it fell that it was 2-1 to us, I think, the score on penalties, and that was the chance to win the game. And yeah, this one is the best feeling you can have in football, isn't it? Winning a shootout is the best way to win a game. Yeah, that sort of 10 seconds or even less than that, maybe 5 seconds after taking the penalty and you're sort of on your own. That's the best feeling that you can have in football, really. You know, I saw we had a small group of fans and players who hadn't quite made the squad celebrating, and I sort of went over to them as well because I thought, you know, they've travelled this way, you know, sort of put brave faces on, you know, that they'd not made the squad as well. So, you know, felt it was right to sort of go over to them, sort of just jumped into the crowd kind of thing. And then your teammates come in, don't they? And yeah, it was an unbelievable feeling. I can't really, you know, can't really describe it, but it's just pure happiness, really.
And then going to Europe, I mean, everything you'd expected. How was the whole experience for you? I mean, not so much the games. Obviously, the games were amazing for you, and the experience was great. But how was it to be a European player for a few weeks?
Yeah, it was. So everything you'd expect. To be fair, it was a proper proper European tie sort of feel to it. The coaching staff did an excellent job in terms of getting hold of footage of the opposition that we were playing, you know, did their homework, knew how we wanted to set up against them. So, you know, if you could relive that month prior to Europe, again, I would, because it was amazing, really. We had, you know, we had sort of press conferences with like Sky Sports come in to do pieces on us, you know, BBC Sport, all the big news outlets were getting involved. National sort of news was doing reports on us. I had on my own sort of social media with Twitter and things, I had like people from Russia, people from France. I did an interview with L'Equipe, you know, really big French newspaper. So it kind of went global. I did like radio interviews myself. I know some of the other players did radio and TV interviews. So that whole month was just like nothing you could expect. It was a proper footballing experience, really. And I don't think it would have happened if we weren't a university-based side, you know, because it's not as big a news. But obviously that was what captured people's imagination, I suppose. That's what made the headlines, and that's why there was so much interest in it. So, yeah, that whole month leading up to it, we had a good trip to Belfast to play against Ballymena as well, who'd also qualified for Europe from Northern Ireland. So we had a really good trip in terms of going there and playing a decent standard of game. The whole experience was unbelievable. And then obviously you go out to Luxembourg, and to be fair, we were playing against a proper outfit as well. You know, some of their players are full Luxembourg internationals, you know, play in Europe every single year. So, you know, they're playing really good, experienced players. And yeah, we only played in front of, I think, 2,000 fans in Luxembourg, but the noise they made was like nothing I'd heard before, to be honest. They had a big, you know, drum, and the fans just didn't stop chanting the whole game. And you couldn't hear anything from the benches. You couldn't hear yourself really speaking to the next man in front of you, really. So it was just a fantastic experience. And you know, I'd love to do it again. It's a shame we obviously didn't do it this year. But obviously we looked to do it again, because it's something you want to experience every year. You know, if you can get into a side that can get into Europe, just do it, because it's like the best experience you'll have.
I mean, this year hasn't gone the way everyone had wanted. I don't think anyone could have predicted what was going to happen. I think the right decision was taken. I think you agree. You know, I think everyone feels like the right thing was done. It's just about when we can get back to it now. I guess the big question for Matt, though, is, you know, obviously the way you recruit players is obviously they're students and so on. And with the greatest respect to whoever plays for you in the future, you're not going to find Elliot Evanses and Adam Rossgroves and Charlie Corsbys and whoever and Dylan Reeses and, you know, I can name them all, but you know who I mean. You're not going to keep finding those players again and again, are you? So is that... Well, I don't think you are. Maybe Christian's very good at finding players, but I don't think you're going to find them. So do you have to change, or does it carry on as it is?
A lot of us are getting older now as well, so we're not going to be able to go on forever. So there has to be that kind of different recruitment style, I suppose. It's going to be difficult this year, obviously, with COVID and everything. The university aren't going to be able to recruit students as easily, which means then obviously our talent pool is a little bit less. So yeah, I'm sure the coaching staff will have to find ways to not manipulate as such the system, but find different avenues where they can recruit players who are the right quality. You know, it'd be easy enough to recruit the players, but they have to be the right quality. Whether that's through links to professional clubs, I don't know. Obviously, that's for the coaching staff to decide what avenue to go down. But I'm sure there are things that they've got in the pipeline or are thinking of. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens over the next few years. Who knows where most of the players will end up. But, you know, we sort of take it season by season. Our aims are always the same, to get into Europe or to stay in the league first and foremost. By getting into that top six. But if you can't get into that top six, get into Europe via seventh, which obviously we did last year. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what route the university and the club decide to go down.
And then a final one for me, I guess. I think it was the first thing we'd heard was cancelled after everything happened with COVID, and it was Wales C. I know from speaking to you about that privately how much it meant to you that the game was cancelled. I mean, you were obviously gutted like everyone else was, but
yeah.
How have those, you know, given that, like you said, you know, you came into professional academies and so on quite late, and how special is that experience with Wales been for you?
Right up there with Europe. Obviously, as you said, I didn't really get into the professional academy setup until quite late, and the opportunity didn't really arise. So I was never in the fold for like youth caps or internationals at under 21 level or anything like that. So yeah, I thought the opportunity to do something like that would have gone, to be honest. And obviously I'm never going to play for the senior side, because, you know, they're all professionals, top professionals. So that opportunity to go and represent the country, I didn't think was there. We go back to sort of luck in football again, isn't it? It's lucky that I'm in the Welsh Premier League, playing well in the Welsh Premier League at a time when they decided to recommence with the Wales Sea Games. And it just, you know, just so happened that I was playing well at that time, got selected, and you take your opportunities, don't you? So yeah, obviously meant everything, I think, to represent your country at any level. I said it before. I'll always say it's right up there with the pinnacle of anything you can achieve in your football career. So something I'll always be grateful for. Excellent experiences, you know, really professional setup when we go away with them. And it was a massive shame, obviously, that the game maybe wasn't scheduled 2 or 3 weeks before it actually was, because we might have been able to get the game in. I was gutted, obviously, because you don't know when your last opportunity to get picked is going to be. You know, you can't take it for granted. So to get picked for a third time, I was obviously really, really pleased with. And obviously wanted to give them a good account of myself. I think personally could have played better in the games that I played in. Done okay, but not as well as maybe I believe I can play. So I thought it was another good opportunity to go and show what I could do at that level as well, because, you know, it's a good yardstick for where the league is as well. So yeah, it's the pinnacle, I think, for any Welsh player who's playing in the Cymru Premier to get picked in that squad, really. And hopefully they look to redo the game again or reschedule the game. If not, hopefully they'll have it scheduled for next year anyway, for next match anyway, and fingers crossed and get picked in that again. But you know, I'm realistic that you have to be playing well, and you have to be fit as well, not carrying any injuries. So it's just something we have to look forward to, really.
No, absolutely. And we certainly do look forward to whenever it does get to come back, or for any kind of football. I'll take anything.
Yeah, yeah, very true.
But look, I've really enjoyed this. I really appreciate you giving up so much of your time to have a chat. Obviously, got to know you quite well over the last few years, and it's been great to have a chat about your journey and the club's journey as well. You know, I think the story of Cardiff, and I think you alluded to earlier, really captured the imagination of a lot of people because of what you've been able to do. And it's a credit to you and everyone that's been there throughout that journey, and those who've dipped their toes in a little bit in between, or dipped their toes out in your case, to have done so well. But thank you very much again, and I look forward to catching up with you.
Yeah, thanks very much. See ya.
Cheers, buddy.